And John 1 tells us very clearly that this one we've been speaking about, who spoke the galaxies into existence, is Jesus Christ. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. God Emmanuel, God with us. God became man. This one who was God from all eternity became flesh and dwelt among us. He's speaking of Jesus Christ. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our study through the book of Genesis. Pastor Scott brings us a message from chapter 1 titled, In the Beginning. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
So we talked a little bit about that the Bible's a hard book to understand, and I pointed him toward a way to read the Bible centered around the person, the main character of the Bible, and I encouraged him to read the gospel accounts of Jesus. But it struck me as I was talking to a fella, an older fella, who didn't know the Lord and has made attempts to read the Bible, but he's found it big and hard to understand. Even though he's a reader, he volunteered quite a bit of other things he's read. It struck me that it is hard, in one sense, humanly, to get the whole picture in your mind in the Bible, but we're looking at the end of the Bible. We just looked at the front of the Bible. In the beginning, you want a perspective on things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when you come all the way through the Bible to the end, Revelation 20, when God is in judgment, look at chapter 20, verse 11. I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. I don't think you can miss the echo of the first verse of the Bible and the first great assertion of Scripture that God created the heavens and the earth. And when He sits in judgment, we're told, from whose presence earth and heaven will flee away, there will be no argument with our God, the Creator and the judge. Now, the whole of Scripture affirms this. And I hope you have your Bible, and I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 20. The summary statement is Genesis 1:1. But the Scripture asserts this all the way through. So Exodus 20, and I'm going to move quickly because I want us to look at these and I want us to hear these. Exodus 20, in the giving of the law, the Lord asserts, verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. And you notice the language is very similar to Revelation. God made everything. In the 6 days He made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything that's in them. And then He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And He goes on and gives more of the law. Look at the 146th Psalm. Turn to Psalm 146. And I'm not giving you an exhaustive list in the sense of complete. I'm just moving through and watching how the Scripture asserts this on every page and in every section, really. The 146th Psalm, verse 5, how blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. Or look across the page, 148th Psalm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Praise Him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For He commanded, and they were created. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord, all His heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Let all the creation praise Him. Why? Because He commanded, and they were created. In post-exilic times, when Nehemiah got the wall built, here's what Nehemiah said. Thou alone, Nehemiah 9:6, art the Lord. Thou hast made the heavens. The heavens the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. Thou dost give life to all of them, and the heavenly host bows down before thee. Thou art the Lord God, who chose Abraham and brought him out. And then he moves on and tells about what God has done in history. And of course, always God's act of creation is followed by his involvement in his creation. He transcends creation, but he is always involved with his creation. And so he says, you made the heaven and the earth and all that's in it. And then you chose Abram, and he moves on and talks about his involvement in our lives. Look over at the New Testament. Look at the book of Acts, chapter 4. And I just want us to see the comprehensive nature of this, that people who know God and have proclaimed God have always and always will proclaim him as he really is, as our Creator. Acts chapter 4, when they were, remember, imprisoned, and then warned not to continue speaking in the name of Jesus. Well, when they'd been released, verse 23, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is thou who didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. That's who you are, Lord, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, thy servant, did say. And then he quotes the second psalm, and he moves on to move from the God who created to the God who took active involvement with his creatures in this life. When Paul and Barnabas, turn over to chapter 14 of Acts. Look at chapter 14. You remember when they were speaking in Galatia? Why, the crowd got so excited when Paul healed a man in the name of the Lord that they began to call Hermes and Barnabas Zeus, you remember? And you remember what Paul said, the apostles, verse 14, Barnabas and Paul, when they heard of it, they tore their robes and rushed out into the crowd crying out and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you, and preach the gospel to you in order that you should turn from these vain things to the living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. That's what Paul proclaimed. In fact, that's what he proclaimed at Athens. Turn over to chapter 17 when he spoke to the philosophical elite of his day, the academic elite of his day. Acts 17, when they were building and erecting a statue, an idol to the unknown God, Paul said, I can tell you about this unknown God. What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. Verse 24, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he's Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. God created everything. And he teaches this not merely in Genesis 1, not merely in Genesis 1 through 11, but all throughout Scripture. And there are those who try to divorce the rest of God's revelation, his written revelation, from the beginning of his written revelation, and who try to ignore the great truth of God being the Creator who spoke the world into existence. You really can't do that. It's all the way through the Scripture. He created everything, the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything that's in it. Before God spoke, there was nothing. Before the mountains were formed, before that is give birth to the earth and the heavens, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Before God spoke, there was God. We say there's nothing in the sense that all things have been created by him and for him. But before all things, he was. And it humbles us, does it not? In fact, I remember anytime you come to these kinds of truths, you hit that point where you cannot fully comprehend. I remember one of my children saying, Dad, as we were talking about this very subject, that God, before the mountains were formed, or that is give birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. She said to me, Dad, it makes your head hurt, doesn't it? And I said, yeah, I know what you mean. But it's beyond our finite matter to grasp, and yet it's in such a healthy way. Such knowledge, David said, is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain to it. What kind of knowledge? Well, the knowledge of God as such, who He really is, His eternality, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. At a certain point, I cannot grasp. I simply bow before Him and worship. Or the 139th Psalm, where He says, listen, He knows everything, His omniscience. Even before there's a thought in your mind, He knows it all. Remember the psalm? What a beautiful psalm. Or His omnipresence. You can't get away from Him. Wherever you go, there He is. Who He really is, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain to it. But you see, our proper role is not to try to figure it all out. Our proper role is to be humbled and worship Him. And worship Him. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. And day to day is pouring forth peace. Night to night reveals knowledge. Turn over to the 40th of Isaiah for just a minute. I love this passage. You know, he speaks of the incomparable greatness of God, our Creator, in the 40th of Isaiah. And verse 25, to whom then will you liken me, that I should be His equal, says the Holy One? Because Israel was being tempted to follow the small g gods, the gods that didn't create the heavens and the earth. And Isaiah says, to whom then will you liken me, that I should be His equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the One who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name. He spoke everything into existence, and He says, look at it. Lift up your eyes and look at the stars, and be humbled before Me and worship Me. I call them all forth. I've got them numbered. I've got them even named. Because of the greatness of His might and the strength of His power, not one of them is missing. You know, it's hard to keep up with the estimates man makes of the grandeur of creation. The more we learn, the more that's out there, we cannot begin to fathom the size alone of the universe and the galaxies and the stars. The speed of light at 186,000 miles a second, that alone is hard to grasp. So you think, well, how far does it travel in a year, a light year? Well, it travels 6 trillion miles. In a year. And then you realize that you try to put it into perspective, because they speak about light years constantly, and you know, you think about what that really means. 6 trillion miles is one light year. And our galaxy, you think of the size of our galaxy versus our solar system, and it's good to do these things. He says, the heavens, they're declaring My glory. They tell me that if our solar system, if it was the size of a coffee cup, then the galaxy we're in, the Milky Way, if our solar system, the sun and the earth and all the planets that revolve around our star, the sun, if that was the size of a coffee cup, and that's an amazing reduction to think about, then our galaxy, the Milky Way, would be the size of North America. You'd have a lot of coffee cups, wouldn't you? Up until less than a century ago, scientists thought that's all there was, that the Milky Way was the universe. That's what they thought. And it'd be a pretty good-sized universe, 100 million light years across. And a light year is 6 trillion miles? Think about it, 100 million times 6 trillion to get across this galaxy. And they used to think that was it. And that would be enough to leave you thoroughly humbled, wouldn't it? But now we know, when I was in school, it was a long time ago, 17 million light, they were saying then that they were reasonably sure that there was 100 billion galaxies. Now, they're saying that if you held a penny out at arm's length and put it on what they used to think of as void places, where we'd not found anything, if you hold a penny out at arm's length, that penny will block from your view at the least dense area, the part that we thought was blank, 1,000 galaxies. And the Milky Way is a small one. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. To whom would you liken me, the Lord says? Look at this. Lift up your eyes and look on the stars. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the proper response to God as creator is to worship Him, to be humbled. Now, this first verse of the Bible and the truth that it asserts refutes so many things. And we want to take a look at that next time. I was hoping to this time, but we just don't have the time. But it refutes pantheism, the idea that God is all. And that is increasingly, in kind of a perverted, twisted form, capturing people in our country. It refutes materialism, and I don't mean the kind of materialism that we think of when we think of how many eggs we have and how many more eggs we want. You know, I'm not speaking to that kind of materialism. I'm thinking of the kind of nonsense that says that matter is all there is, that kind of materialism. No, in the beginning, God created matter. It refutes dualism. It refutes polytheism. It refutes nihilism. Of course, it refutes atheism. And I want to look at those more specifically and take a second look at it. But you know, last time I mentioned that Genesis presents God. The theology of Genesis, as you begin to look at the beginning of the Bible, the book of beginnings, presents God as creator, as sovereign, as personal. Personal. And we'll see that as we move into the next verses of Genesis. This one who spoke the universe into existence, He spoke and the worlds were formed, is personal. And I want us to close on that thought tonight. Turn to the New Testament. Turn to John chapter 1. I said last time that Genesis presents God as personal. Not only creator, but as personal. Not only as the sovereign one, but as the Savior. And John 1 tells us very clearly that this one we've been speaking about, who spoke the galaxies into existence, is Jesus Christ. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Great Christmas text. God Emmanuel, God with us. God became man. This one who was God from all eternity became flesh and dwelt among us. He's speaking of Jesus Christ. But look back at verse 3. Verse 2 and 3. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. All these assertions throughout Scripture that God created us are focused in the person of Jesus Christ. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Or turn to Colossians 1. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. This great statement, he's laboring to show the beauty and the majesty of Jesus Christ in the book of Colossians, because the Colossians were being harassed by heresies that were detracting from the person of Christ. And Paul writes, in Him, speaking of Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Jesus Christ had created everything before the heavens were born, and that is give birth to the earth. Even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Who's He speaking of? The triune God. Jesus Christ created everything, visible and invisible. The spiritual realm, everything his. One final text, Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And you'll notice that these statements often find themselves in the first chapter of books because books of the Bible, the individual books of the Bible, are written with purpose. They're written with an argument, and they're written to show forth the person of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions, and in many ways. You know, God has revealed himself in a variety of ways, and he spoke to Israel, the fathers, in a variety of ways, through visions, dreams, in many portions and in many ways. But in these last days, verse 2, he has spoken to us in his Son. God's final statement, his final revelation of himself is in Jesus Christ, who said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Now, he labors the rest of Hebrews to show the beauty of Christ. And he contrasts him here in this first chapter to the angels. Of the angels, he says, verse 7, his angels are a minister. You know, they're ministers. But of the Son, look at verse 8, but of the Son, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Of the Son, he says, verse 10, thou, Lord, in the beginning didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They will perish, but thou remainest, and they all will become old as a garment. As a mantle thou wilt roll them up, and as a garment they will also be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years will not come to an end. And he quotes at length here from the 102nd Psalm, and he says he's speaking about God the Son. And I close tonight with that thought. God the Creator, the majestic, transcendent God of the universe who spoke the world into existence, humbled himself and became man in Jesus Christ. And he made himself known to us, and we can know him personally. God is not only the sovereign Creator, he's the personal Savior. And you can know him, do you? Enjoy him this week. Walk with him. Get to know him better. It's an amazing thing that the Creator is available to us in a personal way through his Son.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, In the Beginning, a message from chapter 1 of the book of Genesis. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. During this COVID-19 outbreak, we're doing many things differently than before. Nearly all of us, it seems, have switched over to online resources, whether that be simply more time listening to the radio or worshiping online through live streams. And we're thankful that you've chosen to listen to us on this station and invite you to downtownbible.org to download and listen to any past program or to subscribe to our daily podcast. We want to remind you that during this time, the Wednesday gathering at the Portland Art Museum is still on hold. We'll keep you informed as to when the closure is lifted. Secondly, if you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us for our live online Sunday worship service at Southwest Bible Church. That's every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You can find us live on YouTube by searching for SW Bible Live, or go to swbible.org and click on Live Stream. We also simultaneously broadcast the service live on the radio on True Talk 800 AM. Finally, this ongoing crisis has caused a shortfall in finances for this ministry. Would you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? It's only through the generous gifts of our listeners that we're able to remain broadcasting on this station. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Genesis begins clearly by asserting who it is that created us. You turn to Isaiah 45, verse 18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens. He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it. And he didn't create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Thus says the Creator. I'm it. This one who asserts himself to be the one who created the heavens and established it and made the earth, he says, I'm it. There's none other. Look back at verse 5. I am the Lord. There is no other. Besides me, there is no God.
Join us again tomorrow as we continue our study through the book of Genesis. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, Creation of Heaven and Earth. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.